I went and bought this fake ring at a truck stop, and it was $2 or something, and had this plan to go down in Portland at the waterfront. And so it was Christmas Day, and I took her out to
Father of the Bride Part 2.
Oh, and she had said, like, a few weeks before, it had just come out, Father of the Bride 2, and she goes, oh, that's the kind of movie that makes you want to get married and have kids. And I was like, oh, cha-ching, I better take her to that movie before. So she went, says yes for sure on the day that I asked her. So so we went out to the movie and went to dinner, and then we had our reservation, so we got there a little bit early because I wanted to walk down at the waterfront. Uh-huh. And so
it was really, really cold.
Yeah. So we walked down, but it was so too far to get to from that restaurant area to the ledge where the water like drops off from the sidewalk. Instead, there's a big area where there's a bunch of bushes. And so I was like, well, I'm not going to make her walk all the way down there. She's like freezing and like dressed all up and fancy. And you kind of have to walk across this like dirty path and stuff to get there. And I'm like, I'll just do it here. So I kind of fumbled the ring into the bushes, and
it kind of looked like he threw the ring into the bushes. So there was a little more confusion than like the response he was hoping of like, oh, you dropped the ring.
You're listening to Real Love, Real Stories, a podcast to share, to learn, and thrive in love. So no matter where you are on the love continuum, this is the place to be. My name is Kanu, and I'm the host, and thank you so much for being here.
Well, my name is Marianne Remsburg. I will let my husband introduce himself, but we have been married almost 25 years, just passed up our engagement.
Nice.
Brian Remsburg, and yes, I asked Marianne to marry me just a few days ago, 25 years ago, on Christmas Day.
Oh, and nice.
Had a party planned after, an engagement party at her parents' house afterwards.
So. Yeah, he was very confident. He had a party with all this family there. So I was like, what were you going to do if I said no? What were you going to do?
I didn't have a plan B. It was so all in.
Everybody was in on it?
Yeah, the family all knew, and she didn't know. I mean, she had a suspicion that it was getting close.
It was coming. But.
Oh, nice. Nice. That's awesome.
Since then, we've joined 4 children to our family from ages 20 to 13 now. 2 of ours biological and 2 adopted from Ethiopia. And so we are a very busy, full home.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Yeah. So why don't we like take us back to that time that you first met each other? Like take us on that journey from the first day you said hello to each other, and, you know, tell us, how did this love story begin?
All right. Well, it's not one of those love at first sight stories. Mm-mm. We actually met each other. We became acquaintances in high school.
And I don't even know if we actually said hello to each other.
Yeah, we knew who each other was.
We knew each other from afar.
Yeah, and then she ended up going to the same college. I was a year older, and she ended up coming down to Salem, the same school that I went to, Corbin University.
I think you have to go back to high school, though, for a minute.
Okay.
I always laugh at, so we knew each other. We both played sports, and his team had a great year, and he was player of the year. So I knew him, of course. And he saw me play, and later he told me, oh, yeah, I knew you. You were the new girl who I really wanted to teach how to do a proper lay-in in basketball. I got a lot of steals, but, you know, they didn't always go in after that. So
I love it.
Carry on. We went.
But she was really good at defense.
I was really good at defense.
She got a lot of steals.
So can I just interrupt for a minute and say, because you mentioned Salem, just for the sake of people understanding where it began, you're talking Salem, Oregon, right?
Salem, Oregon. Yes. Yeah. That's okay. Right. So we actually, I'd been going to school there for a few years, and she came down there, and we got to know each other a little bit there. So we're kind of in similar friend circles, and a bunch of us had gone to the same high school. And so there was going to be a basketball playoff game. And as Marianne mentioned, we both had played basketball. We said, hey, let's go and watch the boys play. My dad was actually the coach there, and they were in a playoff game. So we said, hey, let's get a group of people who had gone to the high school, and let's all go watch the game. And so there were like 6 or 8 of us down there, and we invited everybody. And and we were going to go and Marianne's.
We didn't even set it up together. I can't even remember who set it up exactly.
Yeah, so we were going to go in one of Marianne's friend's cars. And so everybody was invited. We knew the time to meet, and we showed up at the car in the parking lot, and there were only two of us. It was just Marianne and I. Nobody else showed up.
So we did. We drove to this playoff game at Portland Christian High School and had a great time talking the whole way and through the game and all the way back. And I remember thinking, huh, that's Brian Remsburg from high school. He's pretty great. And that was kind of the beginning of it blossoming over time into a romance more than just knowing of each other.
Yeah, the funny thing was, I remember the conversation pretty clearly. We were both talking about what we wanted in a spouse someday.
Mm-hmm. And like, there was no pressure.
There was no pressure. It was just totally relaxed, having fun, just being ourselves. We actually, we were being pretty silly with each other. And it was, I remember afterwards, it was just like, oh, that was pretty fun. You know, it was, mm-hmm. but there was, I kind of was in a stage of like not wanting to date. I had a girlfriend before, and I was just like, okay, I'm really just taking this time. I was just focusing on my relationship with God and mm-hmm. not wanting to focus on girls. And
but then, he did pretty much describe me in the like what he wanted in a wife someday. He just didn't know it yet.
I was going to ask that. That's awesome.
Yeah. And she pretty much described me. It was.
Yep. So.
That's so beautiful. That's beautiful. So then when you're talking and then you're realizing that you like each other, are you still friends at this point? And when did you guys decide, okay, maybe we should date?
Well, she actually called me up mm-hmm. and asked if I wanted to go out to coffee. And I was like, well, I don't really drink coffee, but sure. I mean, last time was fun. I'll go hang out with you again. So,
but he did make it pretty clear he wasn't wanting a relationship. And so I was like, okay, I got that. I went back to my roommate and I said, well, I'm never going out with him again. But then he called, you know, and said, me and some of the fellas are hanging out, you know, and you want to come. I was like, okay, but I know it's nothing. He made it clear. But he just kept calling and calling to hang out. And after a while, it seemed a little suspect that maybe he wanted a little something more. So,
well, there was one time we went out and we played tennis together. We'd done a few things together. We'd gone to a banquet together. And it was still pretty on a pretty, like, casual, like, hey, this is just a fun person to hang out with, and we're having a good time, and we went and played tennis together, but it rained, and we kept playing, and I think I called my dad and told him I was playing tennis with Marianne in the rain, and he was like, he knew it was done. He knew he knew she was the one.
So about that time then, Brian went to Alaska to work for the summer. And so we were apart, and that was actually really a good time because that was back in the days we made each other a lot of tapes, you know, uh-huh. So we recorded tapes and wrote letters and really just communicated a lot. And that was the time that, at least for, I think both of us at that time, it got really serious and pretty solid even while we were apart, more than when we were, you know, before that, when we'd been together. And And then we didn't work too long after that.
I have to say, it was pretty funny. We still have some of those tapes, actually. We were telling our kids about it because they're just like blown away.
Well, they don't even know what tapes are.
Instant communication. But we're like having to record these tapes, and then you have to mail it, and then they listen to it. So by the time I've mailed it and she's got it, it's a week later, and then I'm getting her response like 2 weeks later. And
right.
So it was pretty funny to look back on that with the communication that we have nowadays.
Yeah,
for sure. That's awesome. So how long did you work in Alaska? How long were you apart?
I was just up there for a summer. So it was like two months or 2.5 months or something like that.
Okay.
I definitely decided that I wanted, I remember going on a walk and it was a pretty flat area, but I was stood on the highest little hill I could find. And I remember praying and just asking God, say, don't take this girl away from me. I want to marry this woman.
Oh my God, that is so beautiful. I love that. Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I want to explore a little bit more about that, you know, relationship where you started really from the foundation of being believers and, you know, and praying at such an age for a partner like that. I think that's beautiful. So we'll explore that a little bit in a little bit. But I wanted to, so then how long did you date up to that time that you decided, let me put a ring on her finger?
Well, so before I went to Alaska, it was like, we dated just for a couple of weeks really before. That was like early May in 1995. And then I asked her to marry me at Christmas that year in 1995. So we dated about 7 months or so.
Okay.
Once we knew, we really knew, and we were excited, ready to get married. And then we were just engaged about 5 months and got married. So once that point, we took it slow at the beginning. And then after that, it was,
we knew
we were for each other. So,
oh, that's beautiful. I love that. I love that. So what was the proposal like?
Well, actually, we were just talking about this the other day, being that it was 25 years ago. So I think I got this idea from my brother. I'm not a major prankster, but I do like fun and games and being silly and things. So I'd heard this idea about having a ring and fumbling the ring over a ledge. And so I went and bought this fake ring at a truck stop, and it was $2 or something. And had this plan to go down in Portland at the waterfront. And so it was Christmas Day, and I took her out to
Father of the Bride Part 2.
Oh, and she had said like a few weeks before it had just come out, Father of the Bride 2. And she goes, oh, that's the kind of movie that makes you want to get married and have kids. And I was like, oh, cha-ching, I better take her to that movie before. So she says yes for sure on the day that I ask her. So so we went out to the movie and went to dinner. And then we had our reservation. So we got there a little bit early because I wanted to walk down at the waterfront. Uh-huh. And it was really, really cold. Yeah. So we walked down, but it was so too far to get to from that restaurant area to the ledge where the water like drops off from the sidewalk. Instead, there's a big area where there's a bunch of bushes. And so I was like, well, I'm not going to make her walk all the way down there. She's like freezing and like dressed all up and fancy. And you kind of have to walk across this like dirty path and stuff to get there. And I'm like, I'll just do it here. So I kind of fumbled the ring into the bushes and it kind of
looked like he threw the ring into the bushes. So there was a little more confusion than like the response he was hoping of like, oh, you dropped the ring, but so it was still funny.
Turn out quite how I'd hoped.
But he wrote me this amazing poem and asked me to marry him.
Picture of the two of us in the middle of it and framed it and then gave it to her after and got down on my knee and asked, read the poem and asked her, and she started crying. And,
I always start crying.
And she said yes. And so
then we went and had dinner at the restaurant, and we had this, I don't know, 20-year-old waiter, you know, and we're just like so giddy and excited. And I remember I told him like, oh, we just got engaged outside. The kid could have cared less. He was like, oh, and like walked off. I'm like, so the first person we told was not that thrilled.
Probably was just having a bad day or something.
Maybe he just had a breakup or something. So. I don't know.
Oh, do you still have the poem? Is it something you can share?
Oh, well, we know how it starts.
Yeah.
I love you. I love you. What more can I say? There's no one I'd rather be with on this special Christmas day. We've had
our many ups
and we may and have had a down. But to this point, something like, I don't have a frown.
Something like that.
Do you remember anymore?
I don't remember anymore right now. I'd have to go back.
That's
and
how much
it,
I so. Remember right now. So that was a good start. It ended with, will you marry me? So there we go.
Oh, that's beautiful. And you still, I mean, what you remember is a lot from 25 years ago for sure. So
we have it. Yeah, we still have it. So
That's beautiful.
Pretty special.
Yeah. So 25 years later, and here you are still loving each other and working together and all that.
It has been a very adventurous 25 years.
Yeah, yeah. So what do you think has made your relationship successful and kept it going and exciting? And I mean, I'm looking at you guys, and I'm sure when people are listening, you know, they'll see your picture, but they're not seeing the smiles and they're looking at each other like you're doing with me. But so what keeps this fire burning between the two of you?
Well, let's see. That's a good question. I'd say one thing is we push ourselves to try new things and we really jump into challenges and we call it adventures. We love adventures. We had no idea the kind of adventures God would take us on. Mm-hmm. But that's also in relationship with each other. You know, we're willing to put ourselves out there and take on those challenges and the tough times together. And it's not always easy, but we don't back down from those. You know, whether it's an exciting adventure or whether it's something really challenging and tough with our kids mm-hmm. or with each other. But we still, you know, we just like lean into those things, I'd say, and lean into them together as a team. And always see each other as a team as we take on those things that come up. What do you think?
Does that tie into the work that you do? Your company name is Adventurous Life. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I know, Brian, you want to share a little bit about that part. So maybe after that, you guys can tie into how you came to do what you do for other people.
Yeah, for sure. I was going to say, as far as something that I think really helped us, I think we started right from the beginning and really had a solid foundation. I mean, our parents really supported us in from the beginning. You know, we waited to have sex till marriage, which is not common these days, I know, and it's kind of seems foreign. You know, and really from the beginning, we're just super committed to each other and really committed to even forgiving each other. I know that sounds kind of silly to say, you know, with the person you love, but I think forgiveness is such a big thing, especially for me. Mm-hmm. You know, I used to kind of hold on to things, especially at the beginning, and just kind of learning to let things go and forgive right from the beginning was an important thing for me to learn. It was more of a challenge, like especially in our first year of being able to do that. And so I think, yeah, just starting well from the beginning, I think helped set us on a good course, because there's been tough seasons throughout the years. And there's been times where, you know, we'd say, I love you, but I don't really like you right now, you know, and still be able to like get through it. And, you know, then kind of those feelings come back again. And you know, as you push through those hard times, but yeah, having a solid foundation, I think really got us started on the right foot.
That's awesome. Did you go through a premarital counseling process before marriage?
We did. We had a couple that worked with us. She was one of my professors. Did you have her too?
Yep. Yeah.
One of our professors down at what was Western Baptist at the time, Corbin University now. And her and her husband went through it with us. And that was really helpful. I remember they talked about quite a few things we still will bring up of, you know, different things. And then before we had kids, we did the same thing. We sought out a family that we really admired. And we went to the parents and said, can you help us, you know, help us get ready to be parents? This is a huge responsibility we're taking on. And so we did the same thing at that juncture of life too. And that was really, both of those were really powerful and helpful for us.
Yeah.
I think we've always been learners through it. We've wanted to learn more about ourselves. We've wanted to learn more about each other. We want to learn about how we can have a better relationship, and always kind of, I think, pushing for that next thing to learn and make it better mm-hmm. and keep improving and not be stagnant.
Yeah. So what are one or two things that you absolutely love about each other?
You want to go first?
Yeah, I love just Marianne's like love for life. Like she just really loves to live and gets, you know, like when I booked a recent trip today, we're going to Costa Rica. She just like so excited and just kind of keeps, there's times that I kind of get down and she's like excited and just just what's around the corner, kind of anticipation and just really loves on people I sometimes say spunky, but she doesn't always like that word.
Well, I don't like that word that much. I'm like, can we come up with a different word besides spunky, please? If anybody's got a good word out there, then yeah. I really appreciate about Brian, I have lots of things, but one is his integrity. I mean, he's just a man I really trust. I trust with who I am. I trust opening myself up to be vulnerable to him. I trust him in life, in business, in his faithfulness, in his relationship to God. Like, he's just a real man of integrity, and mm-hmm. and that's something I am so thankful for. I also, this goes way back to one of our very first dates. He makes life really enjoyable and fun for me. So that's kind of funny you said that, because he does the same for me. I remember he set up this was like an early date, and we were just kind of bored, and he's like, oh, let's play balloon volleyball. So he sets up, in my parents' living room, I think, a net with the string over chairs. And I mean, we've played balloon volleyball with our kids for years now. It's become like, we just do
that's awesome.
Fun things. There is no like lack of ideas and things to make it fun when Brian's around. So,
oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. So one of the couples that I interviewed a while ago, they talk about even before they were getting serious, one of the things they talk about is they had an argument for the first time, and then he looked at her and like held her hands and say, let's pray. Mm. Before it escalated into something bigger, and they just said a prayer to each other right there. So, and I love that story because, as a Christian woman, like, I want to eventually be in a relationship with somebody who also has the same belief system as I am. And I think when a relationship or marriage is Christ-centered, I feel like you can conquer, you can deal with, you can, you can thrive in love, right? Because you have Christ as the center of that relationship. So, do you guys want to share what, first of all, is your relationship Christ-centered, and how does that play into how you are as a couple and also how you raise your kids?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, Christ has definitely been the rock of our relationship, and I'd say it comes out in so many ways. It can't be separated at all, between our love and between our love for Christ. Maybe people have heard this, but the visual of a triangle. And so we're the bottom two points on the triangle. Christ is the top point. And as we move closer to Christ, we're moving closer to one another. And I really see that for us. And as far as the biblical idea of iron sharpens iron, of two being better than one can lift up the other when one's fallen down. As we make decisions, I don't know how we would make decisions if we weren't on the same page of prayer and saying, okay, God, how do you want to move us together as a couple? And he has done that in really clear ways over the years.
That's the one I was going to focus on, is the decision-making. Cause a lot of times we're both idea people, and we can both throw out ideas. And it's funny how, like, even just a couple of years ago, we were talking about our business and ideas and almost going different directions in some of the areas that we thought. And just over time, as we've prayed together about it and talked more, and we just almost always end up coming back to the same page. I mean, we've moved mm-hmm. to three different countries, and in all those moves, it was just really clear that God put us on the same page together as we prayed about it.
One time it was really obvious God had put us on the same page, because we were on completely opposite pages. We were living in Saudi Arabia, and there had been a compound attacked, and it was kind of a scary time there. And I was pretty sure, okay, God wants us to leave. Like, why would he want us to stay here? I'm scared all the time. I can't live like this. Uh-huh. Brian was pretty clear we should stay, but we talked about it, and he agreed, found a school he went to interview at. And so, but he said, while I'm gone, promise that you'll be praying, that God will put us on the same page about this. And so he promised to pray, and I promised to pray. And I did very seriously for 2 days, 3 days straight, prayed and prayed and prayed. And during that time, God really filled my fearful heart with peace and took that fear away. Made it really clear in my heart we were supposed to stay. No question. He came back, and you were like, okay, what do you think? I said, yeah, God told me we should stay. He's like, oh, thank goodness, because I was sure we were supposed to stay, and if we weren't on the same page. So that was just a complete change of heart, just by praying and saying, okay, God, we want to be on the same page, and we want it to be your will. And how powerful that was.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. I love that. Yeah. What about you? You want to add anything to that, Brian?
No, I can just think of all the times we decided to leave countries. You know, we lived in Nairobi, Kenya for 3 years and then came back to the States and then went to Saudi Arabia for 12 and then went from there to Korea. And yeah, every move was, you know, there was a lot of discussion, but really I would say it really came down to praying and just letting God direct both of our hearts. Cause you know, making a move from Saudi Arabia to Korea with 4 kids, you know, it was a pretty big move. And so making sure that we're actually on the same page together is really important because there's a lot of stress involved and
I think it's not always the big things either. You know, it's the little things daily with raising the kids and decisions with that, you know, having teenagers, 4 of them minus one that just turned 20 a week ago. I mean, there's just daily
those
wanting to be on the same page and praying together. How do we do this? How do you want us to do it, Lord? So
yeah, even as parenting, I mean, we don't always agree on, you know, we both have different styles of parenting, but being able to communicate and pray for each other and pray, you know, when we think one of us thinks we're right and they're wrong, you know, in the parenting style, like that's definitely close to home. Yeah, like Marianne said, sometimes those seem like smaller decisions, but they can actually be more personal and bring up more emotions and cause us to be angry or bitter at one another. So those are really the ones where we've seen, we're communication with each other, but then praying about it and spending time and humbling ourselves to realize that, okay, just because I think it should be done this way doesn't mean that I'm right.
Right. But,
yeah. Being willing to work together and accomplish the same goal together.
Yeah, that's awesome. So speaking of working together, tell us about your business. I'm excited to hear about the Adventurous Life. Who do you guys work with? And I know you talked about earlier that you guys reached out to a family to sort of for them to be like a mentor to you guys. Mm-hmm. And I also know that you have a podcast. And you're reaching a wider audience than just helping one person. So talk to us about what you guys are into and how you help people.
Yeah, so we're both certified life coaches. Mm-hmm. Went through a training. I actually got interested in life coaching about 8 years ago and started taking some classes then and just saw the impact that it had on individuals, especially when it coincides with training. And so being able to help people to meet a goal that they have for themselves or for their business and for leaders working with their employees. So it's something that both of us have been really passionate about over the years. We were in education for many years. Uh-huh. And in the education, we both really were passionate about helping people to maximize who they are and live out who they're designed to be. And so we decided to start a company that's called Adventurous Life because really that's what we want to help people do. Uh-huh. Is to step outside their zone of comfort into adventure, which is adventure is going into the unknown and that's challenging. So we talk about the zone of comfort, the zone of challenge, and stepping out of that zone of comfort can be really hard. And there's lots of emotions that go into leaving there and lots of fears that hold us back, but helping people with the mindset to step out, because we've seen the benefits of doing that over the years of traveling, living overseas and doing that with people. And we don't encourage people that they have to go overseas, but for whatever it is for them, everybody has their own zone of comfort where they're comfortable, but staying in there, you're not going to experience life to the fullest.
Right.
So we do that through individual coaching, as Brian said, some with teams, business teams, or nonprofits. We do local ventures here in the Portland area, and we get people out doing experiential learning. And also we have an international trip next year going to Costa Rica. And it's all centered on a book that we had come out a couple months ago. And that's Your Adventurous Life Awaits, 7 Coordinates for Living a Purposeful Life of Adventure. So on our podcast that you mentioned, we get to interview adventurers, and I did quotes around that word, in all walks of life. So anyone that is living out one of those 7 coordinates, we want to hear their story and we want to all learn from them, and we're really inspired and learn from them as well. So Yeah. It's been an awesome journey for us to really come alongside people and help them live out their adventure, whatever it looks like for them and in all areas of life.
Oh, that's awesome. Are you able to give us like a teaser of your book? And then also what I'll do is include that in the show notes so people can easily click and get the book. It sounds interesting, and I'm also asking for myself. So what are, without of course giving your secrets, but what are some of what
we don't mind giving, we're happy to share.
So it's called Your Adventurous Life Awaits, 7 Coordinates for Living a Purposeful Life of Adventure. And so we go through and talk about the 7 different coordinates. And really they work for, or they, I wouldn't say they work. You'll experience those 7 in any type of adventure, whether you're climbing a mountain,
Stepping into a new relationship,
taking a risk financially, whatever. You know, you might not experience all 7 in every adventure, but they apply to pretty much any adventure you're going to go to. So we'll just give you a couple of them. So like 3 is commit to the journey. So once you actually have chosen what you're going to go for, that you actually put both feet in, that you're not 1 foot in, 1 foot out, because to really live adventurously, you got to go for it. You got to really go for the full experience and not just kind of go in. Because as soon as it gets tough, you're going to pull that other foot out instead of putting both in and really going for it. And then I think our favorite one is 5. It's embrace the awkward. Let me tell about that one.
Embrace the awkward. We learned this in our own lives, living internationally, being parents in so many ways. And that is that when you put yourself out there in something new, where you're not completely in control, you don't know how everything's going to work, something awkward will probably happen, or you're going to feel that awkwardness inside yourself. You're going to say, I don't know what to do here, or, oh, I just totally stuck my foot in my mouth. That's okay. That's where growth happens. That's where you continue on and get stronger for the next time, and you learn. And so we have so many awkward stories of kind of funny times, or, you know, even embarrassing things that have happened in our life overseas and in lots of areas of life. And we tell a lot of those stories in the book as well. We really give a sneak peek into our life and try to be open and vulnerable that of how we have grown in this in our own lives as well.
Oh, that's awesome. I like that. I'm actually very interested in that for myself. So yeah, I like that. So is the name of your podcast the same thing as the book, Adventurous Life?
Yeah, it's Your Adventurous Life Podcast is what it's called. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so again, I will include that in the show notes so people can also listen to it and hear what you guys have to say. Yeah, so what advice or tips that you would give to one single people and or married people? You can choose one or you can give both.
I'll say for singles, I think being patient, you know, being patient and also as you're being patient, really think about what you're looking for so that when somebody comes along, you know, we can be often, even with different things in life, we can be kind of overcome in the moment or by emotion. And, you know, you can be, even as I've hired people over the years, you know, something can really sway me one way, just their personality or something. I go, oh, they must be really good. But then as I dive deeper, oh, that's not really the person we want to hire. Mm-hmm. So having a list of things that you're really looking for, so when somebody comes along, you know, they may not win you over in the first 10 seconds, but as you really get to know them, it's like, this is what I really want, because it's for a lifetime. It's not for that first meeting. Right. And you might be persuaded in that first meeting and then kind of feel stuck, you know, and if you're somebody who likes to people please, it's hard to break that off. So having that list, I think, can be really critical in making a good decision.
Yeah, one of the things that I, because I guide women to change their narrative on how they are perceived and then turn that into an advantage to allow love to find them. And one of the things that I stress, it's actually a whole module, is to set to know what your core values are and your beliefs. And I, you know, I say this because I was once married before and our core values were not, you know, in alignment. And clearly that's why I'm sitting here saying I'm divorced, right? So I always tell people to like really, in addition to what you're saying, Brian, to know what your values are. And when you know your values, some of those things that you might see as an attraction might not be something that's important to you. and you're able to look deeper into the person. Obviously, you don't do that in the first meeting, but as you get to know that person to see, is this person in alignment with who I am? And, you know, is this something that's important to me? Like for me, that I want a person who is of faith is like number one, right, at the top. And at the time when I got married, it wasn't even on that list. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, going forward, it didn't quite work out. So,
yeah, it's so true. On a lighter note, like as far as core values, adventure is a big core value of mine. And I mean, that really is, if Brian wasn't, I think I would just be feeling, oh, I want to do more. I want to do more. Mm-hmm. On a deeper kind of level, I think, like you were saying, the faith component of that. And what I was going to share actually was also to singles, if you have the desire to glorify God in your marriage, start in your dating. Because you're not going to not glorify the Lord in your dating and then suddenly start really glorifying him in your marriage. Because when times get tough in the marriage, you have to make that decision day after day. Am I going to glorify God in my thoughts and my actions and my words? You know, this, I love this guy more than anybody in the world, but sometimes I find that I don't love him and glorify God in the way I should. It's almost like it's too close. And so starting that in every way in dating sets you up to love them and glorify God, because these women you're working with, they're princesses, right? If their father is a king, they're a princess. So
there you go.
Having that mindset.
I like that. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. Thank you. What about any advice for couples?
Do we have it all figured out? Okay, so we, like I mentioned, we're in a very busy stage of life with kids. We're running a business together. Sometimes the romance, you have to work at it. It will get lost very easily if you just let life get mundane and kind of the duties and the responsibilities of life. So it is so, so important to take dates, to take time away together, to work at it. Work at it as hard as you did when you were newly dating, and you'll be good.
There you go.
Yeah, I would say, too, just to add on to that, I think sometimes we can make assumptions. You know, I've heard jokes about guys who say, well, I don't need to tell her I love her because I told her 30 years ago I love her, and if anything changed, I would have let her know. You know, it's like... It's like, that's funny, but I think that's also true in many relationships. And so I think just making sure to not assume that, you know, the other person knows how I feel and actually communicate those things. And I know for myself, I've been learning in the last few years to be more present and to not kind of just be thinking about the next thing or have to be doing something together, but just like, to even just sit and enjoy looking at Marianne or just sit and enjoy being with her. And really, when she says something, like really listening to like what she's saying and not just kind of like, oh, I know what she's saying, you know, but really, really listen. Uh-huh. And so that's something I'm still learning to do. And she's helped me and others have helped me. I think continuing to learn and be around people, other people that push me, challenge me, using resources, you know, we've read a bunch of books together over the years. And just like we've said before, we had mentors in our lives that have pushed us, challenged us. And I think having people speak into my life is super important so that when it helps me to see those blind spots too.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So is there anything that you were hoping I would ask you that you want to share with the audience?
It's interesting. A lot of people ask us kind of like, how can you work together? You know, how can you run a business together? And I've talked to a few other couples that also work together. And I'd say we share a common rule or theme, you know, that we try to live by is that, you know, when we're in the office, we try to, you know, focus on work. We try to, you know, be focused on that. But when we're not, you know, when we're in the bathroom, we're in the bedroom, we're not talking about work, and we've tried.
Yeah, but we didn't do very good at that at the beginning. I'm like brushing my teeth, like I don't want to start talking about this yet. I haven't even had coffee, so
we basically said like no work talk in the bathroom, no work talk in the bedroom. You know, it's like trying to really set those boundaries for because it really can just become consuming, and then all of a sudden we're just, you know, work partners instead of, you know, married and have that love relationship. So we really have tried to kind of separate those, which I think we've done pretty good at. Not perfect. Definitely one of us will sometimes start to bring it up or like, no, not going there. Ask me tomorrow morning, you know, or something like that. And so it's been really helpful.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So how can people connect with you guys? And as we'll talk about in the name of your podcast.
So we have a website. It's called Adventurous Life. So www.adventurouslife.net, where you can access all of our coaching, our books, get in touch with us on there. We have our podcast on our website as well. So basically everything can be accessed from our website. Mm-hmm. We also have a Facebook page, a business page that we've been doing Facebook Lives 2 times a week, and we're going to be changing that to 1 time a week in 2021.
And if you want to email us, we're happy to talk to people. That's journey@adventurouslife.net. But as Brian said, everything's on our website. You can find our book there. You can go to Costa Rica with us there. We have a small group going next December. So you can find everything there.
That's awesome. You guys, this has been so fun connecting with you guys and hearing about your love story. I just so really appreciate it. So again, thank you for taking time to chat with me, and I cannot wait for the listeners to hear your story.
Thank you so much for having us. It was fun.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for listening and all the way to the end. I am genuinely so grateful. So now you can continue to show your support in a few different ways. The first one is, if you can think of someone who might benefit from this episode, please send it to them. And the second thing is, we all are on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and the like. So please share this episode. And I love it when people tag me to their post. And 3, head over to iTunes. You can leave a review and you can rate this episode. All your feedback is very helpful, and it helps this podcast get visible so others can listen to all these great stories. Thank you so much. Till next time.